Okay, I'm Alfredo Yamedo, and I am the social worker that started what we have now called Camp Hope here at City Hall. We have, at this point, what started with about less than six people. We probably have over 50 people staying here. We have, I think, at last count, about 45 tents. We've had an incredible response from our community, specifically Sharon Smith and Don Barbieri, who have purchased many tents and sleeping bags and tarps and just unbelievable. But we've also had Starbucks, you know, which has stepped up and provided coffee. We've had other restaurants. Red Dragon in Hilliard showed up last night with broccoli beef and sesame balls and rice. And it was like, you know, hey, we wanted to do something, you know, to help. And we'll be back. We'll bring some more meals. So it's been incredible. Our city has dropped the ball. You know, the warming shelters, we're getting ready to, one's supposed to come online hopefully this weekend, which is at Salem Lutheran. And now I've already spoken to
Larson Andrews.
Larson Andrews. And, you know, I did my research on Salem. Salem's a very well-liked church in West Central. When I first heard several weeks ago that they were one, I was very encouraged. So I have spoken with her. She's coming tonight, so I can personally introduce her to a lot of the folks here and pass on some of the trust that these individuals have placed in me onto her, you know, and try to get some of the folks who really should be indoors during this, you know, cold weather that we're expecting. And, you know, one of the biggest fears that people have going to a church is, oh, my God, are they going to preach to me? And one of the things that I like about Salem is that they're doing the work. And if somebody wants to know about God, they're more than happy to share you know, their stories with them.
But they're not
not their goal. Their goal is to help people, to keep them warm and give them shelter. And that's what every single organization should be doing. Now, I do have one concern that I'll mention. I heard that the Guardian Foundation is being granted two warming shelters, funding. Well, I did a little research on the Guardians, and I found that their rating with the BBB is actually less than stellar. The BBB has a lot of concerns with their disclosures on finances. They seem a little top-heavy on administration, and I'm wondering why our city isn't vetting those types of things.
Yeah, and is that money going to go to, like, specifically, like, faith-based places?
I mean, we're being told that, you know, faith-based places like Salem are going to open their doors, but that is not going to be an emphasis for people that are there. That these shelters are going to be, in these warming centers, are going to be open to everyone. There will be no religious requirement to get fed or required prayer or anything like what the UGM forces folks to do.
Sure. And so what's the plan here at the city? Like, how long do you think Camp Hope will be?
I think Camp Hope will be here for a while, unfortunately. I wish we could fold up Camp Hope and have people in overnight, you know, accommodations quickly. But the problem is that all they're opening up are temporary warming shelters. Those open from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. And then everybody gets put back out. That's not okay. You need to have shelter space. And shelter space means like what we had at HOC, a 24/7 shelter that people could get in, out from the cold. Until that happens, you know, what I've had some folks tell me is that, Alfredo, why would I leave here at 9 o'clock to go there, and then at 7 a.m. in the morning get bounced out, and then I got to come back here and try to get a tent.
Well, particularly with all your worldly possessions.
Exactly.
I mean, Salem's not far from here, but it's also...
Well, and they are offering transportation.
About, that's great.
They said that they will transport folks over to Salem, and then they will transport folks, because one of the things that Councilman Mike Fagan mentioned to me yesterday is that they are going to have folks offering resources, and they're going to transport folks to places like SNAP and DSHS and others that can assist them in getting on HEN and other programs to get them into housing. So that is awesome. I mean, and the transportation part, because like you said, most of these folks are carrying everything they own. So it becomes an issue for them. Right now, they can stay in a tent. Might be a little cold, you know, but we've provided sleeping bags and wool blankets and things. But their stuff is right next to them. They know this is theirs. They can go, they can walk around, they can come back, warm up. It's not the same. I'm glad the warming centers are opening up, because we have people that are staying here that need to go to the warming centers at night. And I'm going to try to encourage them tonight, you know, when Pastor comes, to, hey, she's offering you some warmth, you know, at least for a few hours. Then you could come back, you know. We'll make sure nobody takes your tent. But, you know, go get the chill off, you know, get some warm food in you, get some warm coffee. So it's my hope that some will take advantage, especially the ones who have health concerns and, and immediate need to be warm.
And then just lastly, how can people support the camp if they see it and they want to help?
Okay, I need tents. I need sleeping bags. And please, 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 please make sure you get sleeping bags that are good to at least 20 degrees. If you can't find them that are 20 degrees, then buy a wool blanket to go with the sleeping bag so they can put the wool blanket inside, and the wool blanket will achieve that better protection in the cold. I need tarps. Also need food. I mean, we need warm food throughout the day. We have folks, you know, that bring coffee. We have folks that bring lunch. They bring dinner. Folks that show up in the morning with donuts and pastries. So the food doesn't go to waste. Like I said, we have well over 50 people here now, not counting the people that already know we're here that come through and, you know, they know we're feeding. They know we have warm, you know, beverages. So they float, you know, kind of float in and out during the day. So whatever you can do, whether that be money or you bring the items we need, your money will be well spent. We have community organizations, you know, and businesses that are stepping up to the plate, like the general store. Man, if there's one business in this city that needs your support, it's the general store. Those guys did not hesitate to provide. They continue. I was there last night again, purchasing more.
And they gave half off for the initial
tents,
right?
They gave more than half on some things.
Wow.
They have tried to get as close to just a little above their cost, you know, so they don't lose money to help us.
Wow.
And it wasn't a hesitation. It was like I walked in the door, I told them what I was doing. They said, let's see what we can do.
Wow.
I mean, so we've got, you know, people like that that are stepping up to the plate. Do the same. What, even if all you can do is come down here and walk around and talk to people, that makes a world of difference, because some of these folks never get anybody walking up to them to say, how are you? How's your day going? And don't just say it. Stop, wait, and listen. Because their stories are important. And once you hear the stories, they're going to stay with you. And it's going to change you. Because you're going to go, well, how can we do this as a society? How can we have folks like this? Pressure, pressure, pressure. Please don't stop calling the mayor. Don't stop calling the city council, because they are getting bombarded. I hear it every day from people that, you know, have come out and talked to us that, oh, my God, are we just getting buried? The mayor had the person who answers the phones in the mayor's office stopped answering phones. They're all going to voicemail because it was just so many calls. So keep the pressure on, because we pay these folks. to do this job for us.
Mm-hmm. Even and people living on the street pay
exactly.
because they pay sales tax.
Right. And, when they walk into a store mm-hmm. and they buy something, they're paying. So we're paying for these services. These aren't free.
Mm-hmm.
It's time that they stepped up and provided them.
Sure.
And especially now, we're December, for crying out loud.
And if they're not answering the phone, I believe that the mayor's office is on the 7th floor here at City Hall.
Yeah, I call it the penthouse. I call it the penthouse, yeah. It's just, you know, and just another little caveat. Our mayor claims he has all this compassion for individuals that are homeless. And yet, he did a Facebook Live event this week, which he did from the comfort of his little office next to his Christmas tree with his nice little city white sweater on, when all these folks were down here. And if he had so much compassion for these folks, then why didn't he come down here and do his Facebook Live from Camp Hope?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for talking with me again.
Awesome.
And we'll keep updated.
And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens today.
All right. So, do you want to share your name and stuff? I guess you were already in the paper.
Ken Lee.
Okay. And, go for it.
I did come up here because I'm afraid the bear's bleeding out. And I wanted to move away from the militarized zone with all the border patrol surrounding Tucson. And I'm not sure why I'm poking a bear that's bleeding out.
So you came up here from Tucson?
I did about 2.5 months ago.
Oh, okay. And now you're in the thick of it here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you just tell me about your time at Camp Hope, how long you've been here, what you've been doing?
I was here for the feed on Monday night before the council meeting where Alfredo said he wasn't leaving until they repeal that unjust law that makes it so people can't sit or lie downtown. And I thought that was good. I leaned in, and he's a saint. And he's probably the coolest guy running an action I've ever seen with the toughest, rough and ready team of organizers. They're dream organizers I've ever seen. Half of them are over the hill. They don't give a hoot. They're pouring love in like it matters all day, every day. I don't know how they keep it up, but the city caved after a week because the media was going to make him the poster child for the giving season.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting to walk through the mall and see that giant Christmas tree and then come over here and see all the tents and, you know.
Right. And people began pouring in love and support just because it's what we do. We try to feel good about ourselves, and we're pouring in love and support. And then the city caved. They just want to get rid of him, I think, because that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And he left for a few days, came back to repeal all the unjust laws that are targeting homeless men and women. Mm-hmm. I just love how he thinks and the people supporting him. It's a dream team. Maybe you guys do have a corner on enlightenment.
Yeah, it's like the X-Men.
Greater Cascadia.
X-Men on the streets. Let's
the
go, Marvel.
X-Men organizers, yeah.
Marvel, go DC, and we'll go the Justice League.
Ooh, I like that. Do you want to talk on the radio at all?
I don't care. What do you want me to say?
Getting people's stories?
Ask me a question, because I have a lot of stories, so ask me one specific.
Well, what's your name? Unless you don't want to say, that's fine, too.
Vanessa, I don't care.
Okay, so how long have you been down here at the camp?
2 days.
And what?
Or no, maybe it was, 3 days. I don't remember. It blends when you don't look at your watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't look at your watch, time becomes unlimited. It keeps going whether you look at your watch or not. So then I lose track of time. And it's nice because it gives a break from the world and all its limitations that it tries to put on everything. Limit what you hunt, limit what you fish for, limit what you drink, limit what you eat. All these limits are so restricting. That's why we're all here, because everything's so restricted. You got people that couldn't afford an apartment, but they don't take care of it. But yet you got people that will take care of it, but can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you want the person to move in that can take care of it? because then at least you know your property is taken care of, instead of just relying on the money and then having them trash it.
Mm-hmm.
Why have all these vacant houses that can have frozen pipes? Why not move people in them that are homeless and say, you'll be our snowbirds?
Like
and
that.
Give them room and board. Maybe give them a little compensation because they're keeping your house secure. Because the people here, they don't steal from each other. Get it? We all watch each other. So we could do that. And a lot of these houses already have security systems on it. So why not have somebody in there that'll take care of it? And they have a home, and your home is safe.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about busted pipes that'll cost you thousands upon thousands of dollars. Stupid nonsense. It's all very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they make it complicated. So then it just, it's so blurred and messed up, and rich are getting richer, poor are getting poorer, and tax breaks are given to more rich than they are, like, working class. It's like, are you fucking serious? There's only two classes here. You got rich, and you got the working class. Because even when you're not working, you're working.
Yeah.
Single mom is still working and she stays home.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's like a housewife. She's still working. So I decided to come down here, even though I didn't have to. I have three homes. But it doesn't feel like home. But when my kids are there, they're my home. Home is where the heart is. That's my kids. So I'm going to go home and see them today. Because they need to. Those are my kids. They know I'm okay because they know their mom's strong. So I've been here just supporting my friends and family. Because my family turned their back on me when I needed them. But these people did not. They let me in and say, hey, we got you. And I haven't been stolen from anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because other people were stealing from me. People that were on drugs that make them crazy. But not these people. They've been giving to me and I've been giving to them. It's an exchange. Should everybody forget how to exchange? Or is it too greedy and selfish now?
Mm-hmm.
All they care about is holding on to their money. And their last cigarette when somebody really needs it. Get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'd give my last cigarette, be like, obviously you need it more than I do, dude. I'll get some more later. It's cool, though. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect system. Why do we put so much things into money that's funny, that's printed off a printer, the special Lincoln plates, over a tree? A tree can provide food, shelter, all that. A piece of bark is worth more than $100. This provides life, does it not? Oxygen. But no, let's cut down all the trees. Let's not breathe.
What do you think the city should do just to support people who are living on the
street?
The
city needs to understand that some people have issues with confinement or things like that. And if they sit down on a bench away from everybody and they just take a little cat nap, leave them alone. They're not causing problems. They're not yelling. They're not causing drama. Leave them alone. Don't wake them up and cause problems. You're waking up and causing drama yourself. And then you turn around and call the cops when it was you that started the drama. That person was peaceful. You turned it into drama when it didn't have to. Leave them alone. If they happen to kick up their feet and take off their shoes because their feet hurt, let them do so. Because there's housekeeping cleaners that'll come through and clean. Let them do it. Stop being so mean. So if the city doesn't recognize that, then the city will continue to spread apart. Some people walk by and look and go, that's cool. Some people walk by and go, oh, that's dirty. Nobody hears that dirty, stupid. We know how to take bird baths and other shit nonsense. We're not dirty just because we're here. Their house is dirtier than the ground.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm Joseph Sampson. I've been kind of taking part in the protest and the tent city out here, you know, since the day that it happened. I've been attending city council meetings probably since about June or July of this year, and I've been pretty active in the things leading up to this and this.
Yeah. Have you been living out here?
I haven't been living out here. I have a friend of mine that I'm staying with over the winter, and I had claimed a tent one night when it was empty, and I intended to come down here. But somebody else needed it really bad. It was going to rain that night and everything, and they needed a dry place to go. So I had him move into the tent, you know, because why not? I have a a couch to sleep on that night, and they needed a place to go. So I haven't actually been camping out here, but I've been out here every day. Wake up in the morning, and I come out here, you know, to check on people and see how they're doing, check on Alfredo, and, you know, just try to be involved as much as I can.
Yeah, and just, like, what's your story in general?
My story, I've been homeless off and on for 10 years. I was homeless out here back in June. Other than that, I don't really know what else to say about, you know, my story.
Mm-hmm. What do you want people to know, I guess, who haven't had that experience, about that experience of living on the street, or just being insecure in where you're going to stay?
Oh, I was lucky enough to find, you know, like a decent camp spot where it was, I was like hidden and out of the way and stuff like that, and not a lot of people saw me and stuff like that. But if I hadn't had that camp spot, I would have totally been, you know, stressing about where I'm going to sleep at night, you know, and stuff like that.
How'd you end up getting involved in like local politics and going to city council and stuff?
I had met another man out here, another guy out here, Rich, right here. He had been coming to city council meetings, and he was out here. City council meetings are on Monday, and there's an organization called the MAC Movement that comes out here on Monday nights, and they feed also. They feed an hour before the city council meeting. So that was one thing that I ended up over here because they were, you know, because of the feeding, because of MAC Movement was over here, and I ran into Rich here, and he was like, "Hey, dude, you should come into the city council meeting," and that's kind of how it all happened.
Nice.
From there, I was here like pretty much every week, you know.
Yeah, and then I guess what do you hope to see going forward, like from this camp? Like, what do you hope this leads to?
I hope. The whole reason why we're kind of out here protesting is for shelter space, and to have laws repealed, not just suspended, that target homeless people, like the sit and lie ordinance, totally targets homeless people. It directs people to community court, which I don't know a whole lot about community court, but I don't think I would benefit at all from going to community court myself. But I can understand how it would benefit some people, you know, that don't have those resources, but it just wouldn't benefit me at all in that aspect.
Sure. Was there anything else you want to add, or?
No, not really.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for talking with me.
No problem.
My name's Barb Brock.
Okay.
And I'm just a concerned citizen.
Mm-hmm. And you just showed up with a trailer with two porta potties on it. Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah. Well, I guess the paradigm here at City Hall to me is, why aren't we doing something for prevention? We're always putting out fires. And actually, City Hall knew about the closure of House of Charity in the spring of 2018. And this is now December 1st, and there's still a lack of 160 beds for homeless folks. They've been camping here, as you all know, and yesterday, the mayor and the human resources person, Chris, were out here talking about somebody defecating in the bushes. So they had two people putting up fences, which makes it look like a prison around here. And I said, "Did you think about putting a sign up to say, hey, if this happens again, then we'll have to put up fences, but please don't defecate in the bushes?" She goes, "Well, no, we didn't think about that." And I said, "Oh." I said, "How much do you think it costs to have two people and fences?" And she didn't answer. And then I said, "Well, what about porta potties? We've been trying to get porta potties for 2 weeks." She goes, "Oh, there's porta potties over here." And she pointed about a quarter mile away in Riverfront Park. Two gentlemen ran over there very quickly, came back and said they're padlocked and turned unusable. Long story short, found out they're not for this group. They're for another group, and she was misinformed. And she didn't fess up to that. So I said, well, what we need porta-potties here. And she said, absolutely not. And I said, why not? She goes, because they'll tip them over and put other stuff in them. And I said, so here you go, what are people supposed to do in the middle of the night? I mean, do your bowels work just between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.? And long story short, we called a company and got the Saturday delivery, just private citizens. And the city has informed us that they are putting up porta potties on Monday in a location that's 1.5 miles away.
Wow.
That's the story.
And we have people out here of all ages and all abilities and mobilities.
Absolutely. And, yeah. There's 40 tents. Yeah.
So what do you expect to happen with these porta-potties?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of one of those ask forgiveness, because no one was giving, no one was listening, no one believes in prevention. They're waiting for someone to, I don't know, have some other issue of defecating somewhere and then imprisoning people, and it's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, such a small amount of money for prevention. Mm-hmm. And we have to start trusting the people here, respecting the people here, and they will respect us. I firmly believe that. Mm-hmm. So there's complete lack of trust that I see in the upper administration of City Hall to the people who are here. I don't think they've had face-to-face conversation, because my whole thing is it's hard to hate up close. So you get to know these people, you realize they have stories, they have lives, they have families in some cases. Every story is pretty important. And we just need to learn to be a little more uncomfortable in society and meet people that aren't just like us.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thanks for doing that. I hope the porta potties stay.
Yeah, if we are planning to, if they get taken away, we're planning to join arms around them and protect them.
Great. I heard there might be more on the way too.
If they take these away, another private citizen has stepped forward to have two more delivered.
So we just have a chain of porta potties.
If that happens, two more delivered. So, yeah.
Well, good.
So the power of one. Anybody to your listeners out there, we're not a part of any group or organization. Just if you see a need, just do it.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
My name is Joan Medina, and I'm part of the team of Alfredo's friends that have been supporting the efforts down at City Hall to protest any and all of the laws that criminalize people who are experiencing homelessness, and to get the folks in the city to repeal all of those laws. And I've been part of the support crew for Alfredo's hunger strike. We were keeping vigil in teams over the night to make sure that he and the others who were down here were safe, because we were really afraid that somebody vicious would come down here and attack them, or maybe that they would get hassled by the police or something like that. And then I continue to be part of the support team that is providing food and coffee and other supplies to the folks that are remaining down here and who are camping in the tents. And other than the few days that I was out of town over the Thanksgiving holiday, pretty much every morning I've brought coffee and donuts or something for breakfast. We've been going to Costco and getting a bunch of supplies. I took Ken, one of the guys that's sheltering down here, with me a few days ago to Costco, and he'd never been, so that was fun. It was kind of like Christmas or something, and he got to pick out everything he thought, you know, they might need or want or something, and I introduced him to a whole bunch of new things that he'd never experienced before, like he'd had Havarti cheese, and that was his favorite cheese, and so we found sliced Havarti, you know, cheese cuts for everybody to have, and you know, salami and the hard-boiled eggs that are already, they're organic, they're peeled, they're like packaged in pairs for easy consumable use. But yeah, we had a field day. We got donuts, we got all sorts of stuff the other day at Costco. He had this grand plan for us to get some tortillas and a bunch of peanut butter and local honey, which we found all at Costco. So he could make these peanut butter honey wraps, mm-hmm. which he's been jonesing for. So
good.
Yeah. So we had fun, but yeah, there's several people who are a part of this team. There's people who have been bringing down garbage bags. The city claimed that they were supplying garbage bags for these folks out here, and it was an utter lie. They're not supplying garbage bags, and they're certainly not supplying access to garbage cans, and they're not hauling away the garbage.
They locked the garbage cans.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. I came here yesterday morning, and the garbage cans that were down here that are the city dispensers or receptacles or whatever, they were padlocked shut. The lids were padlocked shut, so you could not open them to put garbage into them. And I guess later in the day they were unlocked, but when I came down here in the morning, Friday morning, they were locked by the city. And so, you know, the city's complaining about how these people are leaving trash everywhere, that they're urinating and defecating everywhere, and yet not only are they not providing garbage bins or porta potties, the ones that are out here are locked. So, also related to this story, I guess the HR director came out yesterday and told the people that they could use the porta potties that are over in the park. Well, one of the guys just came from there and told her they're padlocked shut. Yeah, yeah. So, because he just tried to use them. So, not only were they padlocking the garbage receptacles, they were padlocking the porta potties that were across the street that people could have otherwise used. So, I mean, there's this deliberate effort on the part of the mayor and city administration to make this as impossible as they can for these people who are already out here, who are already vulnerable, who are already suffering, who already don't have access to services. The reason they're out here is because earlier this year, September 1st, the city's only 24/7 emergency shelter, which was at the House of Charity, shut down. The city knew about this as early as May. So the city knew about this in the springtime. You know, they had plenty of time to put something in its place, not only before it shut down, but even after it shut down. I mean, September 1st was three full months ago. It's December 1st now. And so they had the whole month of September, the whole month of October, and the whole month of November to do something about this situation. It started snowing in October this year. Temperatures started becoming below freezing, I think in October, like towards the end of October. And so there have been horrible conditions for people. They're dangerous conditions because when it's wet from rain or from the snow, and then you get into 30 or below temperatures, that can kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And
it's colder on the ground.
Yes, and it's colder on the ground where they're laying down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so maybe they had layers of cardboard or something between them and in the ground, but that coldness seeped through. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alfredo could testify to that. When I was talking to him during the hunger strike, we ended up, the second night he was here, we brought down we have this 4-inch thick, or maybe it's a 6-inch thick, camping mat that we let him use. And because the first night he was here, he couldn't sleep and he was so cold and he had some mats, but they were thin. And the cold was seeping through those mats. And it wasn't until we, you know, gave him our thick one that he was able to sleep and not be frozen to death.
Yeah. Well, and you, I think actually you were on the show years ago talking about the homeless outreach that you've done for years through Bridget's Cloak.
Yeah.
So you've been involved in supporting people experiencing homelessness on the streets for years.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think, and you know, as someone who's lived downtown for 10 years and lived in the city my whole life, it seems like every year this comes up, the issue of the insufficiency of the shelters, the really dehumanizing debate around like how cold should it be when we open the warming shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think this year is the year that things have just popped open and there's this tent city at City Hall?
Because of Alfredo. He had this wild idea that the action needed to happen on the front door of the people who are making these stupid decisions. making these murderous, inhumane decisions. And it certainly got their attention, especially, I mean, it got their attention when all these people, there was a couple dozen people who joined him, not in the hunger strike, but in the 24/7 vigil here at City Hall to repeal Sitlai. And they were all, they didn't have the tents, but they were all sprawled out here as much as they could underneath the overhang. And some of them, you know, there's so many of them, some of them couldn't fit under the overhang. And that got their attention. But then, you know, when the city started saying, well, we're doing the best we can. You know, we had a meeting earlier this week with a city administrator who told us he had all these plans and they're working really hard on it. And then when we tried to pin him down on, well, when is the shelter going to be open? When are these beds going to be available? When? We need these now, not, you know, not next week, not next month. He was talking, oh, well, I can't really give you an answer on that. And but it's going to happen as soon as possible. Well, when does that mean? When does as soon as possible mean? Well, I can't really pinpoint that. But I mean, he started talking about how it might be January or later in the year next year. I mean, as far as I could tell, you know, winter might be over before this shelter was mm-hmm. in place. It was crazy. They had nothing planned for this winter, nothing in place. And it wasn't until all this happened and the tents came, which I cannot thank Sharon Smith and Don Barbieri enough for donating the funds for these tents to be here for these people. I mean, the tents give them not only privacy, but it gives them dignity. It allows them to keep their stuff in one place so it's not strewn everywhere. And it gives them some protection. I guess they're leaking. They were supposed to be waterproof, but they're leaking. And so that's why the tarps are helping, but the tarps aren't really big enough. But even with the leaking going on when it rains, the tents still offer some protection from the cold, from the wind. I mean, the tents are fabulous, and the people who are sheltering out here just love them. They are so thankful. They are so grateful. And the people who are out here supporting and volunteering and, you know, bringing all the supplies and hauling away the garbage because the city won't do it, and providing, we went and got a 5-gallon bucket that we lined with garbage bags, really strong, sturdy bags that they could replace after every use, you know, so they'd have a fresh bag after every use. We had, you know, tucked it behind the trees so that in the middle of the night when they had no place to go because nothing was open, they would have some kind of toilet facility and it wasn't the ground, you know, which the city was complaining about. Well, when they put that fence up around that whole area yesterday, they stole the toilet bucket. I was like, wait a second. I paid for that toilet bucket, you know. I was like, where did the toilet bucket go and why did they steal it? You know, mm-hmm. that was the one thing that they had that they could use so they weren't, you know, crapping on the ground. And they took it away. They took access to even that small little thing away.
Without replacing it with a porta potty.
Without replacing it with a porta potty.
Which seems like the obvious solution.
Right.
And I talked to Barb about the porta potties that she brought and the porta potty action. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to add?
Just that the people who are down here, the people who are sheltering, who are homeless, that are staying down here in the tents, as well as the people who are coming down and supporting them, there's so much love and so much appreciation and so much respect between everyone, and I feel like this is a family, and people are, you know, they've pulled themselves together. And they're behaving really, really well. I mean, I don't know how I would be behaving if I was out here in the cold and the rain all the time, shivering to death and hungry. And I mean, I can't even imagine how hungry they are. I mean, I know that they go days sometimes without having anything to eat. And And so, like, when I show up with the coffee and the donuts or the oranges and the eggs or whatever, it's like they're all clamoring to get to that food because they're starving. I get that. And I can't imagine how I would behave in that situation. I'm not sure that I would be as well behaved as they are and as respectful and patient as they are behaving. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that people are getting along and they're taking responsibility for themselves and cleaning up after themselves. And, it's so nice. And the fact that the tents are here, I think, are a big part of what's allowing them to be able to do that,
mm-hmm.
because they can, they have their own private space. They can get away from the other people if they need to get away. And it's also a space that where they can contain all of their stuff. So it's not everywhere. You know, yeah. They didn't have that before. And I was so happy last night because I was looking for someone named Casper. And I knew the general area where his tent was. And so I called out. I said, "Casper, are you here? Are you home?" And when I said that, it struck me, oh my gosh, he's got like this little tiny place that is hardly anything at all, but it's his home for right now, you know? And I could see that some of the other people who were standing around, who heard me ask that question, gave me the biggest smiles and thumbs up. And it was like, cool that I used that word. So.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you for talking with me.
Yeah. You're welcome.
For what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.